I am. I happen to know something about the lives of all four of those fellows who just sang. I'm expecting the sea to overflow sometime about noon today, if that's where their sins are located. Open your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter number 40. Isaiah chapter number 40. I'm going to read verses 3 and 4. Isaiah chapter number 40. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. I'll read verse 5 also. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I'm going to do something this morning I really don't want to do, because I'm going to be very personal in what I'm going to say about myself. I'm going to speak today on the subject, the silent 16 months. The silent 16 months. You know, of course, that we just finished our 40th anniversary as pastor and wife here. And by the way, I have my hearing aids in. Can you hear me back in the back okay? Is it easy? All right, fine. Sometimes I don't talk as loudly when I have my hearing aids in. And I only preach in them here. I don't know why. They're in me. I'm not in them. But I only use them out here. And I don't know why, but I don't do it anywhere else. But 40 years ago, last August 30th, I walked into the pulpit as pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond for the first time. Now, I'm going to tell you about 16 months you never hear about, or seldom hear about, but many of you had never heard about him at all. And I'd rather not do it. But I want to help you this morning, and I want you to listen to me very carefully. I felt like somewhere I ought to bring this little message, and didn't know where, and I decided to bring it here rather than in the church auditorium. So I want to talk to you this morning about those 16 months. I did not give my heart to the church the first 16 months I was here. Mrs. Howells and I were so happily situated in Garland, Texas. I was pastoring what was acclaimed as the fastest growing church in the world. And we were there for life. It was our home county. We lived in the same county where she was born, where I was born. In fact, we lived about 10 minutes from where she was born. I take it back. I was born in Ellis County, not Dallas, but about a year and a half of age I came to Dallas and brought my parents with me also. I wasn't pastoring at the time. We were there in our home county. We live about 22 miles from my mother, 22 miles from her mother. Our home church was in that county. People we knew all of our lifetime were lived there in that county. And then we had the fastest growing church in the world, so many publications said. And then God, strangely, unbelievably, led us to come to Hammond, Indiana. Now, for 16 months, I wasn't happy. I wanted to go back. I didn't want to stay here. I didn't like it. I found this scripture after 16 months. I just read a while ago. And this scripture had a great influence on my life, and I want to share it with you. Father, bless me as I speak, and bless these dear ones as they hear. And I pray that the mistakes that I made shall not be mistakes that they made, as I reveal a few of them today. Amen. I'm going to confess some of my sins this morning. So we won't be here but about three seconds. But don't leave. Brother Young's going to confess his, and that'll take the rest of the day. But this is a beautiful little story here. A passage of Scripture that literally changed my life. One day the announcement was made, the king is coming to our town. Now you understand they had no four-lane highways and no paved or blacktop roads in those days. And so the king would come. Oh, let's say a little town. Let's go out here to Kentland, if you please. A little town like Kentland. And maybe the king would go then and would come up to Lowell, and then maybe he'd go down to Hebron, and then to DeMott, and make his little tour. And one day the announcement would come. The king is coming. By the way, I think I'll use this microphone. And they announced that the king is coming. And the king was coming for a visit. Now, it meant several things. In the first place, it meant food. Depressed areas, oppressed areas, were starving. And the king would come with his entourage and his chariots, and he'd bring food for the hungry. Look at me now. That isn't all. The king would bring with him medicine for the sick when he came. And so the announcement came, the king is coming, the king is coming, the king is coming. It meant food, it meant medicine, and of course it also meant a chance to see the king. Can you picture a mother sitting by the bedside of a sick child wanting for medicine? And the word came, the king is coming, the king is coming, the king is coming. And all of a sudden hope beats in that mother's breast, and all of a sudden she has the sun begins to shine just a bit. Maybe the king will come to our house, and maybe he'll give medicine for our little girl, and maybe it'll save her life. Picture a dad looking at a hungry child and seeing that child unable to have enough food to keep him well. And the dad hears the word, the king is coming, the king is coming, the king is coming, the king is coming, the king is coming. And all of a sudden, his hopes rise. Maybe the king will have food for my hungry child. A dear old soul, bedridden, anticipates seeing the king one time before eternity. And the dying youth says, maybe I'll live after all. The king is coming, and with his coming, he'll bring medicine and food, perhaps can give me life. A heartbroken husband, a mother at an empty cupboard. The king is coming. At the shops, the king is coming. The king is coming. At the schools, they shouted, the king is coming. The king is coming. And in the ghettos, the king is coming. The king is coming. And in the streets, they shout, the king is coming. And the king is coming. And on the countryside, the king is coming. The king is coming. The king is coming. But the cry comes, prepare ye the way. Now, what'd that mean? Prepare the highway. From the, let's say, from Kentland to DeMott, there was no paved roads and no blacktop roads and maybe no road at all. And they'd say, prepare ye the way. Oh, I will. I will. I want to get ready for the king to come. If the king is coming, I'll prepare the, what, tell me what to do. What is it I must do? And the answer comes, there are four things you've got to do in making straight in the desert a highway. Number one, every valley shall be exalted. If the king is going to come, you've got to fill in those low places and raise every valley to make the road smooth. Prepare ye the way, it said. And secondly, every mountain and hill shall be made low. Just as you fill in to raise the low places, you got to cut down the hills and the mountains and make them level and make the low places even and level with those that were high places, every mountain and every hill made low. And then it says, the crooked places shall be made straight. If you want the king to come, you've got to raise the low places. If you want the king to come, you've got to lower the high places. If you want the king to come, you've got to straighten out the crooked places. What else? And number four, the rough places plain. If the king is going to come, you've got to fill in the chug holes and take away all the stones and rocks. The king will not come on a rocky path. And so if you want the king to come, you will prove that desire by preparing a highway for the king. For the king will not come on a highway that has depression, or a highway that has mounds and hills, or a highway that's crooked, or a highway that's rough. If you want the king to come, you've got to prepare for the king to come. So the work begins. Can you picture it? Can you picture people? Look at me. Look at me. Can you picture people working and raising the low places? And somebody says, oh, what's all this going on here? The king is coming. We're preparing the way for the king to come. And somebody cutting down and leveling those hills and mounds. What are you doing? Preparing for the king. The king's going to come. The king's going to come. We're getting ready for the king to come. Can you see people, as they to chop down trees so the road could go straight instead of around the tree? What are you doing? We're making straight the highway. We're lifting the low places, lowering the high places, and making straight the crooked places. And also, what are you doing? I'm filling these chug holes here, and I'm moving the rocks and stones and debris and old limbs out of the way. Why? Because the King is coming. The King is coming. Now let me apply it to the first 16 months I was pastor here. I found this passage of Scripture just about that time, and I went on my face. In fact, I went down to Texas, to my home, to the church where I pastored, at Miller Road Baptist Church in Garland, Texas, where my heart was, really. It was in the wee hours of the morning. I borrowed a key from the pastor, went in the auditorium, and knelt there behind the pulpit. And I said, "Dear God, I bury this church tonight. I bury Miller Road Baptist Church tonight. I'm becoming pastor of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana." That was after 16 months, but there's some preparation I had to make. In the first place, I had to make the low places high. For you see, young friend, when I came, listen to me, look at me. Look at me when I came here from Garland, Texas. I had bitterness in my heart toward a deacon. A deacon that had undercut me. A deacon that had turned against me. And I had bitterness in my heart. Let me say a word. If you ever expect the King to come in your life in ministry, you can't live with bitterness in your heart. Now, young men, you're going to walk behind pulpits someday. You're going to lead churches someday. And some of the greatest churches in this world are going to be built by you. And you're going to be attacked, and you're going to be hated, and you're going to be scandalized, and every bad thing that can be said will be said about you. But let me tell you something. Don't you let bitterness creep inside your heart. You take those low places and raise them. And I can say today, after 40 years in the same church and 54 years of preaching the gospel and 52 years of pastoring Baptist churches, I can say today, after all these years and all these battles, thank God I don't hate anybody today. And if you expect the King to use you, you're going to have to raise those low places and make them high. The King won't come. No, He won't come. I don't care how well you can preach. I don't care how talented you are, how much charisma you have, how good an education you have, how smart you are, how handsome you are, how pretty you are, how strong you are. You mark it down. The King says, "I won't come." You've got to make those low places high. I ask you a question this morning. Do you have bitterness toward anybody? I ask you a question. Is there anybody in the world to whom you wouldn't speak this morning? I ask you a question. Are you mad at anybody? I ask you a question. Do you have grudges against anybody this morning? Then you mark it down. The King will not come. And all your talent can't take the place of that. And all your charm can't take the place of that. And all your charisma can't take the place of that. I'm saying this morning, get it out of your heart. Get it out. Get it out. That old revenge and hatred and bitterness and hurt feeling. Get it out. If you want the King to come, you've got to make the low places high. I went, 1 year I tried to find this deacon, and after 16 months, bless God, I found him. And from that day to this, there's not been one single hurt feeling in my heart toward anybody in the world. People oftentimes say, "What in the world does Dr. Hiles have? What in the world?" Well, it's my physique, I think. I think that's what it is. They look at me and say, "I understand that. The guy's not big, and the guy's not handsome, and the guy's not, he's not a great orator. What in the world does he have?" Well, one thing he has, he doesn't fight back. He doesn't hold grudges. He doesn't have bitterness in his heart. He loves everybody. He loves his friends, loves his enemies, loves those that are for him, loves those that are against him. I'm saying today, just in case you want the King to use you, just in case when you're 73 years of age, you want the King to have used you, then reach down and fill up those low places, for the King will not come as long as you have the low places. Then I learned this after 16 months, and I'm going to get down to some nitty gritty now. You have to make the high places low. Please listen to me for a minute. If God has favored you with an attractive face, this is especially for you. If God has blessed you with a handsome countenance or has a handsome face, this is especially for you. If God has gifted you with a strong body, masculine, strong body, I'm talking to the men now, not the ladies. If God has gifted you with a strong body, this is especially for you today. If you have a talent to sing or talent to musical talent, this is especially for you today. If you have an athletic ability that is above average, this is especially for you today. God will not come. The king will not come to proud people. Let me tell you a story. When I came to Hammond 40 years ago, I'd always been a nut. I always pastored the church across the tracks. The one that signed said, fundamental, missionary, evangelistic, temperamental, all of that, you know. I pastored the poor white trash. And now all of a sudden I came to Hammond, Indiana. And do you know that every Sunday, the mayor sat right over here, the mayor of Hammond, member of our church. For the first time, I was somebody. You know, owner of the big elite department store in best in Lake County, sat right over here every Sunday morning. Did you know the president of the Calumet National Bank was on my board and the big bank downtown Hammond? Now, you know, he was there every Sunday. By the way, none of these guys came on Sunday night. They didn't even know we had lights in the church. But these millionaires, the leaders, the elite church of Hammond. The president of the bank, mayor of the city, Hammond's leading doctors, the leading obstetrician came to our church. I spoke at the Elks Club, Lions Club, Rhinoceros Club, Hippopotamus Club. I was the young pastor of the wealthy, affluent First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. I spoke on school assemblies, public school assemblies. Listen to me, girls. All over the area, I spoke on public school assemblies. Mrs. Hiles was somebody, and I hate to say this, but I enjoyed it. For the first time in my life, I was not the nut across the tracks. I was the guy, pastor of the First Baptist Church downtown. Hey, look at me. I was the guy who had the affluent people. I was the guy who had millionaires dotted all over the auditorium at First Baptist Church of Hammond. And to be quite frank with you, I loved it. For the first time in my life, I was somebody. And then came the day when seven of those millionaires came to see me one night. And they said, we're here to tell you that you're going to have to quit running buses and get these little bus kids out of our church. They're ruining our worship service. If I could ruin every worship service in the country, I would next Sunday morning and change it for an old-fashioned revival meeting kind of a service. But they said, Pastor, we like you fine. We like your preaching. You're a bit loud, but we can put up with that. We like your preaching, and we think you're a good guy personally, and we're not against you at all. We like you. As you know, Pastor, said one, I gave you $9,000 to buy drapes in your parsonage, and I've offered to send you on a one-month cruise every summer myself and pay all the expenses. We like you. You're our kind of guy. Your preaching's a bit different, but that's Southern-style preaching, but we can't put up with these bus kids. We just can't do it. They're ruining our church service. They're ruining our worship. We've got to get rid of these bus kids. And I won't go through the whole story, but bless God, I went on my knees one day and I said, I'll take the bus kids. I lost the mayor. I lost the president of the bank. I lost them all and took the bus kids. What happened that day? I reached up and took the high places and pulled them down. And I was a nut again. I was shot at twice. They tried to burn down our house. Had threats on my life. For 40 years now, it's been that way. But the king came. The king came. You're looking at a man that if it had been so easy for me to have changed. And for 16 months, the silent months, I said, those months you don't hear much about because not much happened, because we didn't grow any in those months. And though I won folks to Christ in soul winning, and I preached the gospel, preached the truth, preached the Bible, we were not what we ought to be. Why? Because there was a young man there who was sick and tired of being the scum of the earth and sick and tired of being the nut across the tracks. And bless God, the king said, I'm not going to come, and I won't come. Do you raise those low places? And
and get every bitterness out of your heart and get right with that deacon. And I won't come unless you lower the mountain, lower the high places. I won't come. Bless God, I got right with that deacon, chose the best kids over the rich people, and the king came.
God can't use big shots. God can't use pretty boys. God can't use proud people. God can't use spoiled pretty girls. Some of you beauty queens, get you a bus route. And get in Chicago while it's snowing someday. And let that snow make your hair look like a haystack. Let it wash off that makeup. Let the guy see what you really look like. You say, are you against beauty? No, sir. I'm married to a beautiful woman, most beautiful woman in all the world. And when I went with her, she was beautiful. She's always been beautiful. I'm for beauty. I'll tell you what I'm not for, though. I'm not for girls that know it. If your girlfriend, every time she passes by a mirror, does this twice, date somebody else. Or if your boyfriend does like this once, date somebody else. I'm trying to tell you, young friends, your charisma won't do it, and your talent won't do it, and your charm won't, not even your preaching will do it. The king didn't say, preach me a good sermon and I'll come, sing me a good solo and I'll come. He said, make the low places high, make the high places low. Then he said, make the rough places plain. Once again, I got to confess something. We came here 40 years ago. They wouldn't allow a piano on Sunday morning. It was too undignified. Big pipe organ faced that way, and the organist sat there. Big pipes up here. And they wouldn't allow congregations on Sunday here. I didn't change that for a while. I didn't want to have any trouble. Wouldn't allow congregation. By the way, the piano would play on Sunday night, but not Sunday morning. Sunday morning was God the Father's service. Sunday night was Jesus' service. And 40 people came back for Jesus on Sunday night after 700 or 800 came on Sunday morning. I didn't change it. We had a choral response. They'd have the offering prayer, and the choir would sing, all things come of thee, O God, and of thine own give we unto thee. Amen. 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 I didn't change it. You won't believe this. They even dedicated babies. Now, they didn't sprinkle them with water like the Catholics do, but they had a baby dedication. About once every 2 or 3 months, they'd bring those babies down to the front. Preacher would walk over, put his hands on every one of those little stinking babies. I mean, those little precious children's heads, and pray for them. And now, it was not a Catholic kind of a service, but it looked a little bit like it. Would you like to know what happened the first time we had that? I did it. You looking at a fellow that's dedicated babies. Ain't no cheap joint for folks. I did it the first time. I didn't want any trouble. That isn't all. Every year, we had a Good Friday service downtown. In those days, downtown Hammond was the South Lake Mall of the area. I mean, all the shopping was done right down there within a block or two where our church is. So every Good Friday, the Good Friday, City Good Friday service was held in First Baptist Church. Started at 1 o'clock, ended at 3 o'clock. That's when Jesus was crucified. Ended at 3 o'clock. See, what did you do? I had it. I don't even believe in Good Friday. I believe in Good Wednesday. But I preached at a Good Friday. Say, look, you may change colleges after you hear what a rotten fella I am. But I didn't want to have any battles. I didn't want to have any problems. I found that after I got here, the church was American Baptist. I didn't even know what American Baptist was. Sounded good to me. If it's American and Baptist, can't be a loser. I went down to Anderson, Indiana, and was accepted, welcomed as a new pastor of the First Baptist Church of Hammond at the state meeting of the American Baptist Committee. I walked out when Reverend Ms. Miller preached the sermon. I kept my committees, 22 committees. I recall one night, one Sunday night, the finance committee came. for a finance committee meeting at 6 o'clock on Sunday night, and they're all wearing house shoes because they didn't save for church. The finance committee, look at me, in charge of the finances, look at me. And they didn't stay for church. I didn't do anything about it. I preached straight, won folks to Christ. I was enjoying this newfound affluency. And then something happened that flipped the switch. My assistant pastor walked into his church, or his office one Sunday morning, and the picture of his family that he had on the wall was taken off the wall, with a little note from the head trustee saying, "You cannot put a picture on a wall anywhere in this church without permission from the board of trustees."
Oh.
And the picture was taken off. Next Sunday morning, Jack Hiles became pastor of First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana. Some of you folks were there. I walked in the auditorium. I said, "There'll be no songs this morning. No singing. No specials. I'm just going to preach. There will be an offering, however." You can take this thing too far, you know. I said, "There will be an..." I said, "Ushers, come on down here." They were startled. There sat the mayor. There sat the owner of the biggest department store. And there sat the president of the Cayman National Bank. And I said, "Just this morning," I said, "fasten your safety belts. I think we're in for a little rough ride today." I held up that picture. And I said, "Some guy took this picture off the wall of my assistant pastor and said you can't even put a picture on the wall of your own office unless you have permission from the board of trustees." I said, "I want the trustees to stand," and they did. I said, "You fellows, I dare you to take a picture off my wall. I dare you." I said, "If you do, you'll be hanging where the picture was hanging, I promise you for sure." Now, I'm trying to tell you, for 16 months, the king didn't come. We had people saved, but the king didn't come. He didn't come in mighty power. You know why? Had a young preacher there. He had to reach down and make it right with the deacon and raise that low place and make it high. He had to reach up here and take away his pride by being pastor of the great First Baptist Church and pull it down and take the bus kids. And he had to get the rough places and make the rough places plain. Well, because he had to stand up and say, "This pulpit is mine, and this Bible will be preached in this pulpit, and nobody will tell me what to preach." I'm trying to say, once the low places became high, and the high places became low, and the rough places became plain, thank God the king came. And then it says there was another requirement. Crooked places straight. Now, I've always paid my debts, and if you don't, you're a dirty, stinking crook. I don't mean someday, I mean on time. And the king will not use you unless you're honest financially. But one day I found out something. I found that my father, down in Texas, when I was a boy, had accrued a bunch of debts. I found that my father owed some debts he had never paid. My father had been gone, dead for years. I caught a plane, flew to Texas. I borrowed about $10,000 from the Calumet National Bank branch. One of the branches here borrowed about $10,000. I flew to Texas. I went to the Gordon grocery store. And I said, "Years ago, when I was a little boy here, my daddy traded here. And my daddy owes you some money." And Mrs. Gordon said, "As a matter of fact, he does." And she checked the records, and I paid the debt that my daddy owed. For I'd eaten some of that food. I went next door to the McSwiggins grocery store. And I said, "My daddy, Willis Athey Hiles, we used to live here years ago when I was a boy. And my daddy traded here and a McSwiggins grocery store. And they looked, checked the records and found that my daddy, in fact, owed them several hundred dollars years and years ago. And I paid off McSwiggins grocery store."
I went up to Lancaster Street, turned left off Ann Arbor, Lancaster Street, went down to Smith's grocery store, and I said, I understand that my daddy owed you some money years and years ago when I was a little boy. I went to every place I could find where my dad owed some money and paid off my dad's not in debt today. I paid off my dad's debt. And thank God, when the low places are made high, I got right with the deacon. When the high places were made low, the pride left and desire to be somebody left, and the rough places made plain, I decided to take my stand. And when the crooked places are made straight, thank God, for 40 wonderful years the King has been here.
Now, young people, you listen carefully. You're not going to preach your way for the King to come. You're not going to teach the Bible well enough for the King to come. You're not going to be funny enough to talk the King into coming. You're not going to be smart enough to talk the King into coming. You're not going to be pretty enough to talk the King into coming. You're not going to be handsome enough to talk the King into coming. You're not going to be popular enough to talk the King into coming. You've got to make the low places high, the high places low, the rough places plain, and the crooked places straight. Look at me for a minute. Look out in America, and look where our graduates are. Those guys out there doing a great work for God, not a one of them is pretty. Rick Martin could win an ugly contest anywhere in the world. Well, he'd come in second to you, but I'm trying to say to you that it's not your talents going to make you talk to King in the coming. I ask a question, and I'll close. Anybody know where you don't like? Well, you say, who are you talking about? The one you're thinking about right now? You're thinking about him. The one you're thinking about right now. Don't expect the King to come. And by the way, you'll go out somewhere and you'll flop and you'll say it's a hard area. Nobody could do it here. But the King could do it there. Ask a question. Have you got some pride? You look at your face and say amen. I look at it and say, oh my. You look at your physique, you're proud of it? Or your figure? Or your talent? Or your athletic ability? Huh? I don't know a single pretty boy that's ever graduated from this school that's ever done anything much for God. Young people, 'tis the King that does it. And the King says, I'd like to come to your ministry. I'd like to come to your life. I'd like to use you. But I'm not going to come till you make the low places high and then get the pride out, make the high places low. And ask a question. In rough places, what sin is it this morning that you need to confess to God? What sin? Oh, you say, preach, how can I tell? It's the one you're thinking about right now. But he came down the aisle one day and Dwight L. Moody met them at the altar. And he said, I got some sin in my life. And Mr. Moody said, what is it? And he said, don't know. Mr. Moody said, guess at it. And he guessed it right off the bat. It's that sin you're thinking about right now. You're going to have to make the crooked places straight. Any unpaid debts? Dishonesty? Go ahead and cheat on your test, but don't expect the King to come. Go ahead and lie about your outside reading report, but don't expect the King to come. The King is not going to look and see if you've got a degree on your wall. They said, the King is coming. Food. Medicine. The King is coming. The King is coming. The King is coming. Can you imagine how they felt that day when they checked to see if the road was raised, lowered, straightened, and smooth?
Can you see families lining up, looking down to the town where he was last, trying to see? I wonder if he's going to come. I wonder if the road is smooth enough for him. I think I see him. The king is coming. The king is coming. The king is coming. The king is coming. Hey, the king is coming. Thank God we made the low places high. Thank God we made the high places low. Thank God we made the crooked places straight. Thank God we made the rough places smooth. And let me tell you, when you get 73 years old, you'll say 'twas worth it all. Why? Because the king came.